Yeah, I like that. Again, I like to see families singing and serving the Lord, singing for the Lord, coming to church. And I believe that's what we're supposed to be, one big family, coming to church, serving the Lord, singing together. And just good to be here this morning already. Well, we got some thoughts for you this morning. I want you to listen carefully. We're trying to get ourselves ready for revival, and we need revival. I don't know about y'all, but I need revival. And the best way to have revival is to, like they've said hundreds of times, to draw a circle around yourself, ask God to send revival to that circle. But you got to clean up what's in that circle. And it's a shame that we live so far below our privileges that we have to have revival. We ought to be growing in grace and knowledge consistently, that we're always going to another level. But what would be the right word? I think we're living a passive Christianity. It's a low grade. Joe Brown, that was a radio station, always did say that some people just got inoculated with salvation. They got just enough to make them sick. And they really ain't got the real thing. Sometimes I think we've got, instead of running the hot fever for the Lord, we run a low-grade fever. Y'all ever run a low-grade fever and you feel bad? Huh? Are you listening to me? I believe sometimes that's the way we are with the Lord. We run a low-grade fever. And we just feel drug out. And I believe we're going to have to do some searching. We're going to have somewhere to decide to be a Christian, not just saved. I heard a preacher say this week, we don't need Jesus fans. We need Jesus followers. Everybody's for the Lord. Talk to every people go to church, all of us. If I would go to you and say you for Jesus, well, you say, well, sure. I'm for Jesus. You don't even clap for him.
Sure.
Yeah. Won't you?
Yeah.
But are you a follower?
That's good.
See? A lot of us are fans.
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
But we don't follow.
Good.
So we're going to listen about that this morning. If we can, we're going to just see what's going on in our life. We okay?
Yeah.
Let's pray together. Father, I come. Lord, you are great. Lord, help us to live that eternity just a heartbeat away. Lord, that song means more if we'll just pay attention. It speaks volumes. And I pray, Father, this morning our eyes, our hearts may be tuned toward you. Thought of the message last night at the youth rally of what that little bit of my life on the end and all eternity in front. Oh, God, I pray that I might live with eternity in view. Lord, I pray for us this morning. Lord, we need help. I do as a pastor. Lord, I believe all of us do as a church that we need help. We need encouragement. But Lord, we need cleansed. We need more than challenge. We need change this morning. And I pray, oh God, that you'll speak to our heart. Let us see the seriousness of the hour. Let us be pleasing unto you. Lord, cleanse me from everything that would seem like sin, anything, any of shadow, any of it. Lord, I'm asking you to forgive me, cleanse my heart, help me to be what I need to be just now. Lord, I can't do this morning or any other morning, any other day. I can't do it without you. Lord, it's already been prayed this morning. Lord, we can't do it ourselves. We got to have your help, and we trust you this morning. Now, I'm asking you for that just now. In Jesus' name I pray. And amen. Let's look at some things this morning, if we can. And we looked at some complete dedication last week. We looked at Christ, of course, on Calvary, and we showed you the pictures as we talked about genuine commitment and a full commitment and things that hinder the commitment. We looked at those martyrs that we tried to tell you about, the three ladies and even the baby that was burned at the stake for the cause of Christ. And when we look through history, we see that dedication down through the centuries until about the last 100 years. We've not seen the same measure of dedication out of Christians. And there could be many reasons. I love our country. I love America without a doubt. But I believe we've ruined the dedication to Christ. American Christianity is not the same as the Christianity across the world. It don't mean as much to us. We've taken it for granted. We take church for granted. We even take relationships for granted. We take our homes for granted. We take our children for granted. We take our freedom for granted. It's already been prayed, thanking God for our freedom today. And I don't know that we're truly thankful. We've got used to being free. We've never known nothing else. We've never known nothing but freedom. Some, it's when in other countries, has seen persecution. They've seen the communism. And if you've been to any of the countries and you've seen some of these things, you can appreciate it more. But we still take it for granted. But we're numb to it. We're numb to the things that goes on. And we just go through life. But we're numb to the things of God. We see dedication in other countries to a far deeper degree when it comes to the things of Christ than what we are, than what we do. And that's just the truth. We live in a country of plenty, do we not? Is anybody here doing without anything? Huh? Have you seen the scraps? When you went to a restaurant, have you seen the scraps that's gathered up and put in the trash? Huh? I've sat in restaurants and I've watched children not eat their meal because maybe they wanted something different and they was pouting or something. And I watched them take home meals and put it in the trash. Yet in other countries, if they get a cup of rice, they're tickled to death. And regardless of why, that's not the point. The point is we just don't see it sometimes. We have so much. We're convinced ourselves that we don't need God. So we can do it. We can make it. We can fix it. We can build it. Is that not true? Is that not the American way? Now, I think it's a good way to know how to do things, but can I tell you, we can't do none of it without the Lord. I think we ought to be able to fix something that's broken. The older generation didn't have money to buy anything, so they had to fix it. And now the younger ones don't have a clue how to fix nothing. It's because they have it. They just go buy it. They have the money to go buy it. Think about it. Is everybody understanding me? We've been instilled with so much pride that we can't even humble ourselves without saying, "Boy, I'm proud, I'm humble." We boast that we've humbled ourselves. That's how much pride that we've been instilled with. Now, again, I love my country, and I'm proud of my country. And I love the church, and I'm proud I'm part of the church. Yes, I am. I'm tickled to death. I'm a Baptist. I'm proud I'm a Baptist. I'm proud of a lot of things, but have we got to the point that we don't need God, that we can do it all ourselves? We don't realize what we've lost with that attitude. We don't realize. I was reading earlier this week that 50, 60 years ago, that men and women were more interested in obligation and responsibility compared to today where they're wanting their rights and they're wanting tended to. Everybody understand that? We don't seek for obligation no more. We don't seek for responsibility. We want less. We want less. And that drifts into the church. That drifts into our life with Christ, not just the world. I was talking to some men I used to work with, and they was having some issues where I used to work. And the issues is that there's no pride, and I said like this, there's no pride in the workforce like there used to be. There's no care. And they don't know what to do about it. I said, well, you can't teach that. Not to a grown-up. It's got to be trained as a child. And they got to have a work. You can't take a 40-year-old man and teach him a work ethic. If he don't have it as a kid, he ain't going to have it when he's 40 years old. And when we look at the church and we look at our life with Christ, if we're not taught as a child, it's hard to teach a 50-year-old. Are you hearing me? That's why we're supposed to train up our children. But we're losing some things. I wonder, do you see that we've lost anything? Do you see the preacher said something last night that really hit me between the eyes? He said, have you noticed? And he had never been here before. He'd never been to this church before. He said, have you noticed maybe, and he would just use this as illustration, that your youth group ain't like it used to be maybe even a year ago? Did anybody catch that was here last night? When he said that maybe the church as a whole ain't like it was just a year ago? Did you catch the things that he preached last night? And I wonder, what are we losing? How have we lost it? Is everybody following me this morning? But sometimes we rarely lose ourselves to gain Christ. We're going to look at a thought this morning. Philippians chapter 3, let's look at it just for a moment. We've got I don't know if it would be considered a liberal Christianity or we're living a cheap Christianity. Maybe that would be the right word. We're living a cheap Christianity to where we are not, how would you say, we don't pay nothing. We don't have to give anything. Now, I understand we're saved by grace through faith. I understand it's not works. I understand that. But I believe there's some scripture that we forget. Are we all right? Now, I know we're preaching slow this morning. I would like your participation. Because this is serious. I believe we'd be running out of time this morning. Now, I believe you're running out of time. I believe I'm running out of time. And we got a lot of ground to cover, and I don't know that we'll ever get it covered. Paul wrote to the church of Philippi, and he just got through telling them in verses 4, 5, and 6 that he was his heritage, about being a Pharisee, the strictest sect, the tribe of Benjamin, how he was taught. Showing that he wasn't just a common poor guy, that he was a society. He knew something. But then he says this, but what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. The things that were gained to me, that meant something, those I counted lost for Christ. Say, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. You know, he talked about everything in his life was great and wonderful, but he was losing it, giving it all up just for the knowledge of Christ, that it meant nothing but dung. It was nothing but dung. Put in the toilet. It was no good for nothing. All that, everything else in his life was no good for him but Christ. Can you see any dedication there this morning? Can you see any oneness with Christ? Can you see any commitment there? Talk to me this morning. It says, and be found in him not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteous which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. The Apostle Paul was willing to give everything up in his life for the cause of Christ. We don't have that today. We're not even aware. We're not even in this. I don't even know if we're in the same book. I know we're not in the same page. We're not in the same chapter. They're not willing to give everything for Christ. So we're living a cheap Christianity. The Apostle Paul said, as well as thousands upon thousands of others done the same thing, they lost everything to know Christ. Are you still with me? Christ don't mean that to us today, though. He's not first place. And he's not. We can pretend, we can say, all of us, but he's not first place. He's not first place. We'll back up. He won't be. He's not first place. We are too content in this world. I'm going to say it again. We're too content in this world. We're more concerned about this life than we are Christ. That's where we're at. That's where we're at. We live our life and bring Jesus along for the ride. He's not first place. That's how we do. Either take it or leave it, Jesus. Take it or leave it, church. Take it or leave it, commitment. Take it or leave it, vow. Take it or leave it, promise. But we expect Him to be faithful. The very minute that we don't think He's faithful, we get our nose turned up at God and say, well, God, why? We get wrapped up in our religious liberty. I've been studying about this, thinking about this hard. Now, y'all, a lot of y'all might get mad at me. A lot of people watching YouTube and Facebook might get mad at me. But I'm having a problem with this concern of voting politically for religious liberty. What that's telling me is I want everybody to make laws that I can be a Christian without a problem. That I can be a Christian without any persecution. That I can be a Christian and everybody get along with me. Is that not what religious liberty is? I don't read that in the Bible. Because they didn't have that. They had persecution. Because of Christ. But I want to pass the law so I can be... I can just live like I want to. Nobody going to bother me and be a Christian. There's no pressure on me. That's the problem today. We've got too much Christian liberty in America that we don't have to be a Christian. We can just get by being saved. Huh? We still all right? We do this because we don't want to lose anything. We don't want to lose our home. We don't want the government to come and take our home away because we're a Christian. We don't want the government to come and take our children and put them in jail because we're a Christian. We don't want to go to jail for being a Christian. We don't want to lose a meal for being a Christian. We don't want to lose our job for being a Christian. We want a law that will protect me that I can be and I can witness for Christ on the job and I'll get fired. Is everybody still with me? I want to be a Christian for God, but I want it to be easy. Are we still okay? But what we fail to see, we're losing the main thing and the cost is hidden. We've been blinded to some things. We still okay? This morning, let's look at the thought, losing it all. Losing it all. Now, we look at the positive side about losing things for Christ. The Apostle Paul said that he lost things, that he gave it up. He counted all his gain loss. He gave up his heritage. He gave up all the privileges that he had. He gave up, he was sent and put in jail. And you realize that Paul, had he just told them who he was and what he was, they could not have arrested him. Right. Everybody know that? If he had told them, listen, I'm of the tribe of Benjamin, I'm a Pharisee, listen, you can't do this to me. They said, really? And they would have let him go free. And he said, no, I'm going to give all that up just that I might suffer for Christ and win someone. How many are doing that today? I'm not. Huh? Huh? Are we still okay? But we think about losing it all. We say, well, that's one thing. But we're losing things the other way. We're not giving up nothing for Christ. Let me ask you something this morning. What have you given up for Christ? Look at your life. What have you given up for Christ? I've not given up nothing. I've not given up one thing to serve Christ. Nobody has never told me, you're not going to church. Nobody has ever told me, you're not carrying your Bible. Nobody has ever told me, you're not praying. I've never been told that. But I've always said, by golly, if you tell me that, I'm still going to do it. Well, no, I don't have to worry about nobody telling me that. What have I given up for Christ? I've never had to quit a job for Christ. Not had to forsake my family for Christ. Not had to move because of Christ. Tonzo, Bob DeWitt was telling that there the other day when he was home. He was there with me, and Tonzo texted him, and they was bombing. They'd done Bernie's village, Bernie's house, Bernie's church over in Burma, and they started bombing again, and they had to leave where they was at and go to the jungle. And while they was doing that, he got some reception on the phone. He sent Bob a message and said, told him, Paul Sammy said, even yet the gospel is not hindered. In other words, Bob, they're trying to kill us, but don't you know we're still preaching? We're still serving God. Yeah, I've not given up nothing. These things have been on my mind and strong on my mind when you try to deal with people who don't know the Lord and they don't see no need, they don't see no urgency, there's no trouble. When you deal with Christians, unfaithful Christians have no desire to go to the house of God. We're missing something. And I believe there's some things we're losing. And I'm going to try to show us why we've lost, or maybe what we've lost this morning, if I can. But go back and we're going to look at Joshua just for a moment. Is everybody still with me? Does anybody understand what I'm saying this morning? Amen. Joshua chapter 6. Let's look here. Now, to catch us up where we're at in Joshua, and we're talking about losing it all. All right? Joshua, we know, took over after Moses died. Led the children into the promised land. They started. He seen the captain of the Lord. He seen the Lord Jesus there. They're the captain of the host. And knelt down and worshiped him. And he told him, he said, now you go take Jericho. When you take Jericho, he said, I'm going to be with you, give you a mighty victory. We know the story. Most everybody goes to church knows the story of Joshua and Jericho. Marched around the city, the walls fell. Great victory, was it not? Trumpets blowed, and it's an amazing thing. And the walls are still flat and all. I mean, you know, we've heard the songs and the nursery rhymes and all these things. And here we are. And it came to pass at the seventh time, when the priest blew the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city, and the city shall be accursed. Even it and all that are therein to the Lord, only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye, in any wise, keep yourself from the cursed thing. Now, Joshua is telling the children of Israel what the Lord told him. He said, you go in and you're going to march around the city. Now, when you march around the city, I want everything destroyed. Don't you bother nothing. Don't you be like them. Don't you take nothing that they have. The only ones you spare is Rahab the harlot and her house because she's on my side. And ye, in any wise, keep yourselves from the accursed thing. You know, we don't do that no more. We don't follow Christ that close that we keep ourselves from the accursed thing. Lest you make yourself accursed. Do we understand that when we take and become like the world, that we are like the world and it's accursed? God don't love the world. He said for us, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in us. And we're living a cheap Christianity. Lest you make yourself a curse when you take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So the people shouted when the priest blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. We know that. Ain't that a wonderful, that's a wonderful miracle of God, is it not? And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, and ox and sheep and ass, with the edge of the sword. They done what God said. Almost. Right? Now, when I read that, do y'all see the seriousness of following God? I see the seriousness of following the Lord. Somebody help me here this morning. Is it serious? Are you serious in following the Lord? Are you serious? Or is it passive? Take it or leave it. Are you serious? God's serious about us following. The New Testament equivalent in Jesus' preaching. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. How come we don't ever use that verse in our life? Because that's too hard. I want my religious liberty. That's too hard. Jesus don't mean that. He don't mean, that's not for today. He don't mean that. When did it change? He said, we're going through Jericho. They're not going to follow me, so kill them. Don't touch nothing. Don't be like him. We're going through. We're passing through. I'm serious about this. Israel, I'm serious about this. Jesus comes and says, listen, you're going to be my disciple. This is what you're going to have to do. Is that what it says or not? Y'all tell me. Is that what it says? Huh? So likewise, whosoever he be of you, that forsaketh not all that he hath, what's it say? Now, you tell me. You tell me. Is that what it says or not? Is he serious about? Are we serious about? He's serious about. We're not a preach to you other Sunday. We're not seeking the presence of God. We're seeking the hand of God. We're not seeking the presence of God to live holy. We're seeking the hand of God to get more, to get help. We're interested in making this world a better place to go to hell from. Did you catch that? We're more interested in making the world a better place to go to hell from. We're not trying to be there. We're not trying to be the Christian. I didn't say you. I said we, us. I've been convicted about being a Christian. I've been convicted about being a Christian in name and not in duty. I've been convicted about being a Christian in name and not in action. And the Christianity that we talk about is what we all are, and it stinks. It stinks enough that the lost people are noticing it. That's why they think it's a joke. They used to not think it was a joke because the people that put them in jail were saved. The people that were chained to Paul were saved. The people that burnt the people at the stake, they were saved from the testimony of those being burnt. But we go to church and we do all this and we give and we're charitable, but where's all the people coming to Christ at? They're advertising on the news about they can't wait. They're going to baptize in some place. I forget the name of the place. They were going to baptize like 1,100 people are going to be baptized into the Catholic Church Easter. And they were so excited about it. Probably afterwards they'll have a drunk party over it. Had nothing to do with Christ. Had nothing to do with being saved because they're not saved. That's our Christianity today. We still okay? We see here in Joshua an ongoing problem that we keep taking the accursed thing and we keep hiding our sin among our stuff like they did in Jericho. Joshua 7:1, but the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. I want us to understand something this morning, that everybody here is responsible for everybody else, and my sin affects you, and your sin affects me, because we're one body, and we're one family in Christ, and we're going to have to forget about everybody being this and that. We're one body if we're a believer, and like the children of Israel, one man caused Israel a lot of problems, and us this morning going to have to realize that our life is so important that I need to be clean that it don't affect you, and you need to be clean that it don't affect me, and I need to lose some things that don't matter and give my life to Christ before I lose some things that does matter. I was talking to a gentleman. Let's see, this is Sunday, Saturday, Friday. I was talking to a gentleman Friday, and he goes to church. He's a deacon. Got a filthy mouth. I mean, filthy mouth. It's filthy enough that if he spoke in words in front of my wife or my kids, I'd have to shut him up. Drinks like a fish. The deacon. Over the youth. He asked me, "What? I need some help. Can you tell me what's wrong?" I said, yeah. So we had a long talk. If we had anything you can imagine, that's what I said. And I told him, I said, "You're fixing to lose your wife. You're fixing to lose your children. You're fixing to lose your grandchildren. You're fixing to be embarrassed at the church. You're fixing to be embarrassed in front of your youth group." And you know what his words were? Y'all know it. Y'all know the words. I know. Is everybody understanding the message this morning? I'm just trying to be really plain and transparent and let us get everything out. Listen, I want a revival. I want to see some things change in our church. Listen, we're losing some things. We've done lost some things. And the Bible tells me in Revelation that I need to strengthen some things that remain before we lose it all. Huh? But one man, Achan, one man took the accursed thing. See, it don't take the whole church. can just be one of us.
That's right.
But the problem is, it ain't just one of us. It's all of us. Joshua 7:11 says, Israel has sinned. Wait a minute. Israel didn't sin. Achan did. Israel didn't sin. Achan sinned. No. No. I might be a pinky toenail in the body of Christ. I might be one of the hairs in my ears in the body of Christ. Huh? I might be a nose hair in the body of Christ. Means nothing to no one. But what I do affects the whole body. How I live. Well, I don't think it's that serious. God says it was. God said it's so serious. One man sinned in the whole nation. The whole nation. Not a church, but the whole nation. We're talking about a couple million people going to suffer because of one man. Then he says, Jesus said, if you don't hate father, mother, sister, brother, and follow me, give up everything. You can't be my disciple. That sounds pretty serious to me. Israel has sinned. They also have transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, for they have taken of the accursed thing, for they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and disassembled also. Truth, Achan sinned. Yet God said Israel sinned. Body of Christ sinned. But listen, it affects everybody. Are we still okay? Talk to me. We'll get through this. Hang with me. Joshua 7. And Joshua and all Israel with him. Now look what happened now. If you go back and read between the scriptures that I left out there, Joshua calls on God. God says they sin in the camp. There's problems. Here's the problem. Bring all the people before me. All the people before you. Question each one of them. Question each one. You. Do you do this? Do you do this? Do you do this? Question each one. Well, they got down to Achan's family. Got down to Achan. They said, Achan, what about you? And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan. Achan said, well, I got to fess up. I've got to fess up. The woman didn't do it. The kid didn't do it. I did. Neighbors didn't do it. I did. I wonder how many of us will go ahead and humble ourselves enough before God and say, it ain't what everybody else has done, it's what I've done. That I have walked astray. That I have not been committed to God. That I have not been the Christian that I'm supposed to be. And let everybody else have to deal with theirs, but why can't we be like Achan and say, I'm the one. Because there's some things I'm losing. Are we still okay? And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah and the silver and the garment and the wedge of gold. But look what the children of Israel done. Achan admitted that he had done wrong. Achan admitted that he stole a Babylonian garment and a golden wedge and the shekels of silver. Done all that. And you just think, well, okay, I made it, and that's good enough. Well, can I tell you, it is good enough as far as it's good that you done it. But have we forgotten? Am I getting through to anybody's mind? Is any of this making sense? That how we're living matters? That our decisions matter? That how we live matters, and I'm sorry, don't fix it.
Right. Right.
I'm sorry, don't change it. Huh? You say, well, what's the answer? Don't do it to start with. Jared Lyons reminded me of something we was talking there yesterday on the phone. It was an Andy Griffith thing. Otis is in jail. And Andy's going to apologize to Helen. And he's writing her an apology letter. And Otis says, they ain't going to listen. They ain't going to listen. Said, just hit her in the mouth with a leg of lamb. And Andy said, that's why you're in here. He said, I didn't hit my wife. He said, I hit my mother-in-law. He was happy about it. Can I tell you, that ain't the way you fix stuff. Huh? Y'all know the scene. Are we okay? Look what they done to Achan and his family. They took the garment and the wedge of gold and his sons and his daughters and his oxen and his asses and his sheep and his tent and all that he had, and they brought them into the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned him with fire after they had stoned him with stones. You know, killed the whole outfit. They didn't kill the whole outfit because the whole outfit done wrong. It was Achan's family. Achan is one done wrong. Can I tell you, we lose things that we didn't think we would lose when we do things we shouldn't do. And we're wanting God to bless over top our sin, and God ain't going to bless over top our sin. And we've done swept things under the rug too long, and we've done condoned things that's wrong, and we don't want us to hurt no feelings. Can I tell you, we're losing the things of God. Yeah. And that's what matters. We're not losing the things that don't matter. Paul lost all these things. He said, all these things I counted for gain, they were lost to me. That's the things we ought to be losing, but we're not. We're losing the main things. Are you following me this morning? We're losing it all. Are you hearing me? We're losing it all. They lost their favor or blessing of God. Can you not see the difference in the atmosphere of our church? Can you not see the difference?
Yes. Yes.
Why? Why? Because we've lost the favor and blessing of God is why. Why? Because we've got sin in our life. There's sin in the camp. There's sin in the camp. And there's no repentance in the camp. We've lost the favor and blessing of God. They lost their testimony with the world. Is that not what Joshua said when he called on God? Read there in chapter 7, I believe. 6 and 7. He said, now, he said, the enemy, the Canaanites, are going to see that we run from Ai. We're going to see that we got whooped, and we've lost the testimony that you was with us. Do you understand that when there's sin in the church, in the Christian's life, that it loses the testimony of God because the power is gone and the testimony's gone? Can you not see what we've lost? Are you hearing me?
Yes, sir.
Huh? We're losing our testimony with the world. They lost their power and victory. They won the mighty victory at Jericho and never fired a shot. They go up to Ai, they didn't even want everybody involved. God help us if we ever think we don't need everybody. God help us if we ever think we don't need everybody. They took 3,000. They had 2 million. They took 3,000. 30 some of them got killed right off, and they run with their tail tucked between their legs, and God was ashamed because of sin. And they was ashamed because they run. Is everybody still okay? That's what the Scripture says. Huh? They lost their power in victory. Can you see that this morning? Can you see that we're losing our power? We've lost our power in victory. Talk to me this morning.
Yes, sir.
Achan lost his future generations. Achan ain't the only one that died. But he didn't just lose his kids, but he lost all of his future generations. Because all that Achan had, he lost. And it wasn't just one generation, it was forever. Do you understand that? Think about that. They wasn't going to be fourth generation. They wasn't going to be fifth generation. They wasn't going to be. The only thing they had was all of Israel was going to go back and remember that pile of rocks in the Valley of Achor. It's one thing for me to perish because of my sin. Be ashamed for the church to perish. Be ashamed for the whole church to perish. Be ashamed that your great-grandkids won't have a place to come.
Yes. Absolutely.
When I come here, it was just me and Marcus, me and Cheryl, Marcus and Philip. Now I'm here and we got Marcus, or got Philip and Lindsay and Hannah and Landon. And if things continue, like now, if things continue, Hannah's going to be 15 years old. Ain't going to be long. Maybe there'll be another generation. But what if ain't nothing here for them? What would I do, Becky, if there ain't another generation? What am I going to do, Cheryl, if when Hannah and Landon have kids, they know where for them to come? Do y'all think about that? I think about it every day. Not someday, I think about it every day. When I pray, God, don't let this thing fold. But it will when God's family and God's body has sin and there's no repentance.
Yes.
We live our lives away from God. And we lose the things we just listed here. Examples of why we lose it all. Well, we look through the Scripture. Achan lost everything because of sin. Can you agree to that? If I read on further, I can read in the New Testament that because of selfishness, the prodigal son lost everything. Because he wanted what he wanted when he wanted it. Only concerned about himself. Hey, how about the desires of the world? Samson lost everything. Because of desires. Is that not the things that we face today? Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Are we okay? We're turned upside down. Years ago, I traded vehicles. And you ever go to the trade and they say, listen, we can't trade, you're upside down. You may have been told that. You're upside down. That meant that somewhere in your past, you got things turned around that wasn't in the right order. Does everybody understand that terminology? Can I tell you that's where we're at? That we're upside down because we're lovers. I believe it. That Timothy, Paul wrote to Timothy and said that perilous times are going to come and we're going to be lovers ourselves. That's first place. Second place, we're lovers of the world. Third place, we're lovers of God. We're upside down. Ain't that supposed to be flipped? We okay? Well, what do we do? What do we do? We losing. I'm not worried about losing worldly friends if it's because of my stand for Christ. I'm going to be a friend of sinners if I can be. What I'm worried about is losing friends that don't know Christ because I'm not a Christian. I'm worried about losing my great-grandchildren in the church house. I'm worried about losing my grandchildren. Let's be real this morning. with the temperature of our young people right now. Of the temperature of our young people right now. Who's going to be the preacher to take over the church? Who's going to be the singers? They're dead as a hammer right now. They're dead as a hammer right now. And it's time we own up to it. We're losing. Because there's sin in the camp. We're aching. We're aching. We just bury it with our stuff. We just bury it with our stuff. Where we live. Just keep on going. Go through the motions. That's what's wrong with your homes. You don't have the right kind of home. You don't have the intimacy with your husband and wife. You don't have the love. You want to be apart instead of together. Any couple that wants to be apart, then you're not right with God because you get married to be together. And we bring that atmosphere into church. If you want a TV to babysit your kids, then you don't love your kids. If you want a phone to babysit your kids, you don't love your children. If you want to pawn your kids off somewhere all the time, you don't love them. You wanted to have fun making them, but you don't want to have nothing to do with raising them. Then we bring that into the church house.
Amen.
Yeah. We're losing. But we're not losing the things that Paul lost. Paul said, I have all these things, and all these things that was for gain, I count loss. That I might gain Christ. The knowledge of Christ. That I may know Him, the power of His resurrection, fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable to His death. Right? Are we okay? I know this ain't no shouting message. I don't want it to be a shouting message. I want to be an understanding, comprehending message. I want a wake-up call this morning that we see. We're dead. We're dead. We're dead because of sin. And God has stepped aside. God has stepped aside from Mount State Baptist Church because of our hearts. It's away from God. We can go ahead and pay off the bank note. Wonderful. Whitney's paid off. We can pay off a building. We can increase our faith promise. We can go ahead and gather up another 100 missionaries. Let's support them. And we'll be as dead as a hammer. And our great-grandchildren will burn in hell. Because there ain't enough power to get them saved in church. But we don't have to be dedicated. We live in America. We don't have to be like that because... Listen, I got other stuff to do. I got other fish to fry. Now we don't have to be. I don't have to hate father, mother. I mean, that's old Bible. I mean, that's in the Bible days. That don't mean nothing. What do we do? Psalms 139:23-24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Are we willing enough? Are we willing enough this morning? To look at that verse and honestly from our heart say, search me, O God. Search me, O God. And know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. It's one thing to see our deeds, but how about our thoughts? Huh? What are you thinking right now? And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Father, the message wasn't alliterated. The message didn't have 3 points in the poem. Didn't have a song. Didn't have anything but your word, your scripture, and your example. And Lord, unless you and the Holy Spirit speak to us, then ain't nothing ever going to happen. But Lord, it ain't just you speaking to us. I believe you speak to us all the time, but we don't listen. God, I pray for our church this morning that we might see. Lord, I watched and listened. We had such a great time of fun last night. But Lord, we was dead. It was dead. Lord, you sent us a great preacher last night, a great message, but we were dead. Lord, we had great singing this morning. We've had great opportunity. We went through many verses, but we're dead. Oh, we're dead. But we're dead because they sin in the camp. And we have sinned. God, I pray that we might repent as well. In Jesus' name, amen.